Okay, let me bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. This is the Spirit, the fourth in the series, so we'll just close with these last three in our lesson today. Mentioned announcements, there's going to be a potluck following our assembly 2 weeks from today. Looking forward to that. You know, in the assembly, we get to hear you talk, and we get to hear you sing, and we have the potluck, and I guess we'll get to hear you eat. Depends on who you're sitting across from. The fruit of the Spirit is designed to be copied, or to have it part of our life. I looked at the clock a moment ago when I was sitting there, and tilted just a little bit, and I know when I looked at it to see what time it was, I tilted my head. I don't know if you can look at that clock and not tilt your head, but I had to force myself. That has nothing to do with the lesson.
Oh, I thought we were...
Christian living is, we've said before, spiritual living. It began when we were baptized. Peter, in answering the people's question in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they cried out. He reached a point in his sermon where he said, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." And said, the Bible said, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter answered and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." He mentioned two blessings. For the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Holy Spirit is what we're talking about in these series of lessons. That gift has been affirmed in the Apostle Paul's writing. In 1 Corinthians, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Yeah, so that which we received when we were baptized dwells within us. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19, Paul said, "Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God." Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom," meaning Jesus, "in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Yeah. Oh, that's right. So when we were baptized, we received remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit because it was promised to us. So after, in our lesson text today, after Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit, he said in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. So I put in your notes, well, what that means, just walk the talk. You'll practice what you preach. And that's what our encouragement is in our lesson today. He mentioned in verse 22, and going back, fruit of the Spirit, love. These things should characterize our life. Joy. Yeah. Peace. Thank you. Kindness. Goodness. Oh, yeah. Faithfulness. That's our lesson begins today. Gentleness. And self-control. Against such, there's no law. No law against these good things. So let's take each in turn, the closing three of that list of the fruit of the Spirit. Number one is faithfulness. Faithfulness. By definition, you know, I like definitions. Not only because definitions define the word, but many times in the definition we get the application. So by definition, the word faithfulness is steadfast. Remember, this is what should characterize us. Reliable. Dependable. I'm to be counted upon. Trustworthy. Now you can put in your notes. Firm in adherence to whatever one is bound to by duty or promise. Firm adherence. Oh, yeah. Faithfulness. Devoted. Above reproach. resolute, staunch, loyal, godlike. Because these are all characteristics of God. This fruit of the Spirit is from God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Of course, sometimes when you look at the opposite of the word, we get a little definition too, or a little clarity. If you're not faithful, you're wavering. You're not true to your allegiance or duty. You're fickle. You're fluctuating. You're not a promise keeper. You're not godlike. Oh, wow. Sounds serious, doesn't it? We're admonished to be faithful. There's a song in our book titled Concerning God, Great is His Faithfulness. Hear the words, just a couple stanzas of it. It's on page 57, I put in your notes. But it says, great is thy faithfulness. Great faithfulness, not just faithfulness, it's great. O God, my Father, there's no shadow of turning with you. You change not. Your compassions fail not. For thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Second stanza concerning creation. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. How is it that we can predict an eclipse? Or the tides? Or the seasons? God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. So when God promises us remission of sins or the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can believe it because of His faithfulness. And I put in your notes some characteristics of God's faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, begins with the simple phrase, God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, there is no temptation taken you but what is common to man. So we all are in the same boat. We get tempted. Oh, but God, the next phrase, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, meaning the next phrase, but He will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. Oh, are we going to be tempted? Sure are. Oh, yes. Oh, but wait a minute, God's faithful. He's not going to allow us to be tempted above that which we're able. And He'll provide a way of escape. He's faithful. I can depend upon that. So now what about us? It's the fruit of the Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 begins, let's hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Meaning, let's hold our confession of faith with faithfulness, dependability, reliable. So he says, let's hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. For he, next phrase is, for he that promised is faithful. Let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Oh, sometimes attendance is wavering. Are they going to be here Sunday? I don't know. Are they going to think they'll be here next Sunday? Oh, I don't know. They're not. I can't count on it. We want to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, not forsaking the assembly. When Paul writes to letters to the churches, there's several times that he calls brethren by name in that congregation. You know, we're very familiar with the names of Peter, James, John, Andrew, Paul, but in a couple of these places, Paul commends some lesser known members, calls them by name when he writes the letter. In Ephesians 6, verse 21, Paul says, that you may know how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister or servant in the Lord. He'll make all things known to you. I'm going to send Tychicus. Don't know much about him, but he's faithful, Paul says. I'm going to give him a commendation. He's not Peter, Andrew, James, John. He's Tychicus. He's an ordinary member of the congregation, but Paul recognizes him. Give him an attaboy. In Colossians 1, verse 7, as you've also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Epaphras? I know Peter, James, and John. But Tychicus? Epaphras? In Colossians 4, verse 9, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. He'll make known all things to you. What's happening here? Onesimus. See, these, what some people might consider ordinary, Paul says, you're extraordinary. Because you're faithful. You're faithless. Paul said to the brethren in Corinth, moreover, it's required in service that a man be found faithful. That's all we got to do. You may not always be able to do what somebody else does over here or stand up here. But the only thing God requires of you and me is that we are faithful. Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful till death, and I'll give you the crown of life. There's never an obligation that says, oh, you must be a leader, or you'll serve over here, you must go to another country. No. Be faithful in whatever talent, ability that you have. One requirement is faithfulness. And you can do that. You can do that. I wonder if someone, or like maybe Paul was going to write a letter to us, I wonder if he'd call my name. Call my name out as being a faithful member. Faithfulness. That's a quality, a characteristic of that fruit of the Spirit that's within us, that God gives us. Second is gentleness. Here's the definition. If you're gentle, you have a pleasant, easygoing nature. Kind, peaceful, soft-hearted, warm-hearted, compassionate. If you're gentle, this fruit of the Spirit that should be within us is tender and nice, meek. It's a gentle summer breeze instead of a hurricane force wind. We have the ability to be hurricane force. But with God's Spirit within us, we want to develop gentleness, a summer breeze. In our relationship with one another. Oh, and I like a gentle breeze. I don't want a hurricane force wind. It blows my canopy in the backyard to the neighbor's yard. Of course, the opposite of gentleness, that means you're belligerent, cantankerous, contentious, quarrelsome, overbearing, harsh, coarse, rough, ill-natured. No, I don't want that. I want to develop that. That's characteristic of God. In James chapter 3, verse 13, they ask the question, who's wise and understanding among you? Good question. He's going to answer the question. But he asks it first. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If interesting word, meekness of wisdom. Well, the next verse, verse 15, says, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle. Who's wise and understanding among you? The wisdom from above is gentle. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul says, I'm pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So there's a way that we want to plead and pray and encourage you for a particular course of action, but I want to do it in a spirit of gentleness. Philippians 4, verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known for all men. Let your gentleness be known to others. So if you say, what's Brian like? Oh, he's fierce. I don't want that. I hope you would say gentle. Be one of the things you would say. Gentle. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, said, we were gentle among you. And then he gives an illustration. I like this one. I was gentle among you just as a nurse to children. Oh, and my children were born like that. Boy, can I hand them back to me? Carol, get this way. Gentle. Grandchildren. Oh, they were babies, babes. Gentle. Take it easy. Now that they're older, we just throw them in the pool. But we know what gentleness looks like. As a nursing mother cherishes her child or her children. Gentle. Last one, self. A definition is the fruit of the spirit, self-control. Meaning it's not of my own making. It's not by my own design. If I'm going to exercise self-control, I'm going to do it. And the spirit that's within me. And I'm going to say, help me, Lord. And I put your notes to restrain myself or master my wrong passions and desire. Help me, Lord. And we need that self-control, because there's not always going to be someone nearby to pull us away when temptation pulls us toward it. And we have help. That spirit within. It's not just self by itself. Here they are. In Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, I want strength. I want self-control, but I find it in the Lord. And in the put on the whole armor of God. There's help available. Even when I'm alone, physically, I'm not by myself. Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 17, after the armor of God, he says, and pray always with all prayer. Oh, that's right. So what am I going to do when I'm alone and I want to exercise self-control? I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I'm really not alone. Pray. Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. So when I'm alone, I need to exercise self-control. I'm really not by myself. There's help from above that's instilled within. Help me, Lord. Help. So the fruit of the Spirit, we close out the lesson, it should characterize our spiritual life. Because when we live and walk by the Spirit, it will let others know to whom we belong and on whose side we stand. The fruit of the Spirit. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. We'll plan our. There's a course, if you will. You can use some different words to describe that. Number one, you need to hear the word of God. That's kind of obvious. You need someone you have to go into all the world and preach or teach. So we want to get the word out that God so loved the world he gave his son. Then second, you'll need to believe it. Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe. Believe. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So I want to believe. So God, I've heard your message. I believe it. Anything else? Well, Jesus added another step. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, he said, except you repent, you'll perish. So now I need to turn my life around and head toward God. Yeah, I don't like the situation I'm in. I want to repent. And then number four, I'll need to confess my faith. My faith is that I believe what I believe. Step number two, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe the good news message. And that's what the Ethiopian said when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. He stops Philip's sermon. He says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He made his confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip, right then, commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And then number five, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. So there's a simple process. Here, turn your life toward that good news message. Confess your faith and be baptized. From that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we extend each time we assemble at the close of a lesson. Your subject is message already. Just simply, if that's your desire this morning, just simply come and have a seat on the front. And at the close of the song, I'll just ask you what's on your mind. And you're going to say, Brian, I want to be baptized. That's the answer. So let's arrangement. Again, if you need to respond in a public way, please.